Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, give strength to our mind and our heart so that we may faithfully do what you have called us each to do as we go through life on this earth. And we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Have you noticed how some people have had their zeal for Jesus Christ diminished? I have seen it happen. And when I look at the troubles all around us, you can just kind of understand why people get discouraged. But we have to remember to have our attention on the glory of God and His beautiful wonderfulness. There are times when we must be reminded to pay attention to our Lord God Jesus. And it's when we see the events going on in the world that, well, we can just get affected by the things going on around us. And if we just stop and think, we can remember how important it is to keep our attention on God Jesus. Just about all of us have become so accustomed to having the world be comfortable and pretty easy. See, we are able to buy things when we want and whatever we want. But if there ever was a really big emergency, that would change. Our society would change. And we would have to learn to deal with the more difficult conditions. And I think it's kind of funny as I think about it. The times in the past, people were more prepared to deal with difficulty than we are. I mean, just think. Let's go back 500 years or more. Those farmers of those days were a little bit prepared to deal with whatever the situation was for the coming months or years, because they knew they had to have grain to plant for the following year. It's a matter of what a farmer does. He has his seed, and so he knows that he can grow his crop and have life. So he is prepared, in one sense, for what is coming in the coming year or years. And that, it makes him more prepared than we are today, because we do not have our basic necessities of water, food, and warmth. We get distracted from those things by all the goings on in society and the world. We pay attention to them. And somehow we just get insulated from the realities that could affect us in very short order. Because if we don't have water, food, and warmth, life gets pretty hard. And olden day people knew that, the olden day farmers and just plain people who were exposed to the elements of the earth. They knew about all that. But we have been insulated since we have been living in big cities and having our needs easily met. Well, let's just remember how blessed we are and give thanks for it, but also recognize that there are these real situations. And as I think about I'm just thinking about 2 Peter 3, 4, and how there were scoffers who walked in their own lusts and thought that things would just continue as they always had been from the beginning. Well, that's a quick way to say it. But in our modern living, we do some of that too. We think things are just going to continue as they always have. But there have been big events throughout history where things do not continue as they always have been. Of course, we have the big, huge event of Jesus Christ coming 2,000 years ago, and after that, things were not the same. And when he comes the next time, things will not be the same. Oh, well, we do know that he is coming again, and we look at the conditions that will change on earth. Just to put it in short terms, war, famine, and epidemics and earthquakes. So, we know that's coming because it's in the Bible, so let's do a little to get prepared for it. I do understand that we do have an attitude that things will continue because that's our life experience. Look back on life and we can see that we always have had what we needed to live. After all, we're alive today. So we've had the water, the food, and the warmth, but if that ever were to change, it sure would be a very hard situation for all of us. We have gotten to think that the system is dependable. The system will take care of us. And a part of that system is Big Brother, the government. The government will take care of us. We always think there'll be somebody to take care of us, right? We have a safety net for the poor people. We have a safety net for the homeless people. It's just we have this in our thoughts, but at one point, things can change. And so, let's just all have a little bit of supplies on hand. Just the basic things. What do you need to live? Have some of those on hand. Water, food, and warmth. For warmth, I think the first part of that is clothes, so that we have warm clothes. And, well, go from there. See, we have had a great deal of blessing in our life. We have had so much liberty, freedom, and yet it's a interesting thing. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel 8. The Hebrew people enjoyed their freedom. They had a system of judges for them to get justice, but still they wanted a king over them. That's in that 1 Samuel chapter 8. And that was a long time ago. It was about 1,000 years before Christ. But those people let their fears get to them. They started to be afraid of if their country was going to be invaded. And so they wanted a king to protect them. And that's what they did. They asked for a king so that they did not have to be responsible for themselves in a way. And they got Saul, and that kind of changed their lives forever. And what are we doing today? We get afraid of all sorts of things. We get afraid of the virus that's going around. We get afraid of the military threat from other countries. We get afraid that we're going to run out of clean air and clean water. So do we want a king over us to tell us what to do and how to do it? Well, it's kind of a human thing that we want somebody else to do something for us. That's kind of like a condition of life. It's human. We all want that, somebody to take care of us, to provide our safety and our justice. And that's just like in the olden days, the ancient days. But we have Benjamin Franklin who reminded us that if you are willing to give up your liberty for the sake of some temporary safety, you do not deserve either one of them. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. So it's a reminder to us that we'd have to be watchful on our own and not rely on somebody else. Do we really want a king to tell us what to do? Or a strong government? Or a president or anyone else? How's that governor doing of yours, by the way? He likes to tell you what to do. So we've got this situation here. Are we going to take care of ourselves? Or are we going to have that person over us like a king? Well, we get consequences if we don't pay attention to the Bible theme, to the way the Bible tells us to do things. And often enough, we have been doing things the Bible tells us not to do. And so we do not get God's protection. It's pretty straightforward how it works. Well, I think we are also in a certain dangerous situation because we are disregarding God. As a nation, we are disregarding God. And even as a world, we are disregarding God. So, we're going to have some consequences. You can be sure of that. That's how it has always worked. If you look at history, you can see that. If you look at Bible history, you can see that. Read the Bible. It's a repeating pattern. So, there's certain patterns that happen when we do not follow God. Our physical country can be attacked, and our spiritual safety can be attacked. They go together. It's just the way that pattern goes. And when we think about our spiritual battle, it can get really ugly because there are evil spirits all around us. They're good spirits. There's a battle going on between good and evil, God and Satan. So, well, we have to seek the safety of God through Jesus Christ, and that's a part of why we want to be faithful to Him, so that we are protected. But we do have to remember that these spirits, the evil spirits that are present also, they have had a long, long time to get angry at God, to get angry at what God loves, and that's people. So that's a part of our battle too. It's hard for us plain old human beings to recognize how much those evil spirits hate us. But when you look at history and you see what people have done to people, and often enough, it's the people who adopt the evil of the spiritual part, and they get to hate others. And so they cause misery and death and suffering. Yes, that's why when you read the history or you find out about what the evil people do, you get to understand how they can be so, well, evil, that they want to torture others, they want to even drink a person's blood or eat babies. I mean, it's awful. It's so awful, we cannot even believe that it truly happens. But if you look, if you listen, you find the testimonies of people who tell about it. It does happen. And we want to be so careful that we do not get involved with that evil. And so we turn far from it, and that means we turn to Jesus. Follow Jesus. So, by the way, being a part of that or seeing it in the world, often we just cannot even believe that it's true. How could these evil things be true? It's so bad that we don't even, we are repelled by it. And we don't want to believe it's true. Now, just imagine. Can you imagine this? I'll be quick with it. But if they were going to blend up aborted baby organs with chicken livers and inject them into our young people that were school-aged children, could we even conceive the truth of that happening? We can't imagine it happening because it's so terrible. But that is a part of what goes on in science, because they do that. They use the cells from aborted babies and from chicken livers and cow parts and all sorts of things. And then we inject it just a little bit, just a little bit. It's not much. How could it hurt us? I mean, we're great big, and it's just a little teeny bit. How could it even hurt us? Well, I remember that's an argument the doctors have used as to why it's okay to accept a vaccine into your body. Well, I guess that's something we all have to look at and struggle with, but it helps to have a little bit of information. I know there are doctors today who are thinking about the contents of this present-day vaccine, and they talk about how, again, some doctors, you don't get a lot of this because doctors don't like to talk about things that are bad about their practice, but some doctors will tell you that they did spectrum analysis of the vaccine, and they have found that there is graphene oxide in it, and that's kind of a new substance. We're still trying to figure out what its real properties are. But it seems to react to radio waves and 5G cell towers. And it reacts with, or at least the contents of that, cause abnormal growth in the body. Again, we skipped the long-term tests, we skipped the animal tests, and we're saying, here, just put it into my body. Put it in my children's body. It'll be okay, I'm sure, because government says so. Well, there's two sides to every story, and I think we only hear the one side, so I talk about things that most people don't. Most people don't even know about them. But there are a few medical researchers, there are a few medical doctors who have looked into it, and they talk about it, and they tell you things that you have not heard before. But this is a part of being responsible. We look at what things do to us. We look at how things affect us. Just like ancient Israel at the time of the judges, we look at how things, what we're responsible for. Are we going to be responsible, or are we going to have the judges do things, or do we need a king over us? Do we need a king in the form of a president and a governor? Well, this is one thing we all seem to ponder over. You know the answer. I know the answer. But often enough, the answers are different for different people. So, think about it and think about what it means. And realize that we, the people, ought to be concerned about what is being well, in a sense, it's forced on us. In a way, it's just plain put upon us. And we get to react to it. We've had so much good government and so many good people around us for decades that it's just hard to believe that there really are people who want to do evil to us. But look around. There's the presence of evil all over the place. It's just that we have had protection. We want to believe that people are good. But I guess we would say people are good, but there are exceptions. Like Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and the World War II Nazi doctors and the Japanese who did horrendous human experiments in Unit 731. So people are good, except these ones aren't. Nero wasn't good. I mean, it was not good when he put Christians on stakes and lit them on fire in different parts of Rome. I mean, he did that. He lit Christians on fire and criminals, and was a way of providing a certain light. That's what the history books say. Well, we think people are good, except those ones. And besides, that was in the ancient days, right? And they don't do that anymore. Well, that's not true. The olden days still are with present-day people. And I just told you about those other ones that were just awful. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, and more. But we think we won't have any of that evil. We think that human beings are good. And really, I mean, we are. There's a whole lot of good. But there's also people who are not. If you look at the present-day situation even, you look at China and think about what they have done to the tens of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners. There's been 20 years of testimony, and it's just so horrendous to think about having the organs taken out of them when they were alive and awake, and then selling those organs on the world market. That happened, and there's people who have testified about it. There's United Nations commissions that have received testimony. It's there. It's just, well, we don't want to see it. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to look at it because it's not pleasant. It is awful. But it's a part of the world there where there is evil, and we want to completely disengage from evil and only have good in our life, have Jesus in our life. But we still have to be aware that there is evil in the world, and those evil forces want to capture us and hurt us. And especially they want to capture our children and hurt our children. And right about now, we are having a certain day of the year where we talk about demons and horrible creatures coming out of who knows where. And they do awful things. It seems like there is death and torture, and awful things. And we celebrate that day. It is said that it is more celebrated than Christmas. It's just, when you look at the reality of what demons want to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy your happiness, well, I thought you wouldn't want anything to do with them. But look at our society. We are embracing the awfulness of that situation. Well, we have to pray for protection for the people around us, our Christian family, our physical family, and pray that Jesus becomes the center of our life so that we can do what is opposite of that great evil. That is what we want. That's what we pray for. That's the best protection that we can have from evil. We can have trials in our life, that's for sure. We do have them. But we can also know that through Jesus we can have eternal security for our life and our soul, to not be consumed by hell or demons. So, just consider the history and realize you want goodness and not evil in your life. It's hard to see evil. It is hard. We want to pretend like it's not there, but it is there. And so that's a part of why we cling to Jesus, is because we want nothing to do with that evil. It can be so bad. It can be, well, just think of, think of when something happens and we hear of a child that disappears. We don't want to even think of what could happen. We don't want to think of the blood and the screams and the evil things that happen. But that's a part of the evil in the world. It goes on, but we don't see it. We don't want to see it. And what about the evil that is caused by things that we see are good? I mean, a lot of people see that there are sins that are good, and they want to do them. But the consequences get to be very great and very, very harmful. That's not a good thing to do. So, let's seek to have the righteousness of Jesus in our life. You know, we think of our wonderful government and how it could never do anything bad to us, but there are people who know better. There's this current vaccine going on. The most resistant group to it is the black people. That's what they say. And you have to think of why would black people oppose a vaccine? It's because they were experimented on in, let's see, 1932 to 1972, there was something called the Tuskegee experiment, where the people who went to the doctors had syphilis, and they were not treated for syphilis. They were only observed to see what would happen when syphilis went through the body, what would happen. And that Tuskegee experiment was on, as I said, black people, and that's why there is a resistance among that community. Now, today we have communities that have been also harmed. We have, the airline pilots is one group. They are, at one point, they were kind of like dropping over dead, and nobody knew why. But there was a concern that it was coming from that vaccine. And it probably was what happened. And so there is a reaction to it. People are protesting, saying they don't want that current vaccine. But you know what? It's being forced upon us. It's saying, if you want your government job, you have to take the vaccine. Well, there are people who are resisting. Yes, I just talked about the airline pilots as a group, yes, but especially the Southwest airline pilots that went on strike. Or what they really did was they took their days off and didn't come into work. But we have people that are strongly objecting to it, and there can be firefighters and construction workers and government people. They are. There is some level of not being willing to take the current vaccine. There's a unconfirmed report about this. Oh boy, we have to be careful about unconfirmed reports. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because after the Secretary of Defense mandated that all active military personnel had to get the current vaccine or they would be court-martialed. And after that happened, there was people who just went off the job. They wouldn't do their military job. Among them, that's the report. It says that there were 12 F-22 pilots who, in effect, walked off the job because they were not going to take the vaccine. And there were 16 B-52 crew members who walked off the job and would not take the vaccine. So there's things going on, and this was only at a couple of air bases, but if this is widespread, we're going to have a situation where our military will not be in readiness, and then who knows what other nations would do to take advantage of our country. I sure don't know, but we know there are enemies to America in the world, and they are pretty much the communist countries. They're things like communist China and communist Russia, and there's other communist countries too. Venezuela, North Korea. Well, anyway, the things could happen, and we just have to realize that we want to stay strong as a people, and what's the best way to do it? The job loss is a big thing, and so many people who are threatened with job loss are going to do what they need to do to keep their job, because with their job, they have status, they have a home, they have a car, they have a comfort level, they have health care, and they have a retirement plan, all because of their jobs. So they are willing to do things to keep their jobs. And we have to remember that we might want our liberty more than our jobs, but that means we have some preparation work to do. That's a part of what we are going to do to be remain free as a people. And that is something we all have to consider. People also, there's a certain thing called a herd mentality, and we do what our neighbors do, we do what our friends do, we do what, kind of like what we're told to do, because we don't want to be the one to stand out. And there's been social scientists who have studied this, and they recognize what a very powerful thing it is. Oh, let's see, a lot of years ago, about 1978, as I recall, Jim Jones was a cult leader, and he called himself a Christian, but he certainly was not. But he was being investigated by a senator, and so he decided, uh-oh, what am I going to do? Well, I mean, that's what it appears happened. And what he did was he didn't want to get caught and go to jail. So he called upon all his followers to drink this poison Kool-Aid. It had cyanide in it. And you know what they did? Because they followed him instead of having the freedom under Jesus Christ. So what happened was 900 people died. They drank the Kool-Aid that was laced with cyanide. And that's something that shows how powerful being a group is. Nobody wanted to be different. So that's a force that's going on right now in society too. We want to be a part of the group, be accepted by them. There's cults today that have the same thing. Oh, there's, what's his name? I'll have to think about this, but he is a Mormon, and he has, 50 wives and 1,000 children or something. But he is in prison now because of his breaking the civil law. And still, he controls people from jail. He tells them what to do. He tells them what to eat, what to not eat, how to dress, how to marry or not marry. And that's something that a cult leader does. It controls, and we just can't even think that could even happen today. But there it is. He's doing that. Jeffers, that's who it is. But these things, we think of them in the past, but they are current even today. And we have to know that we love our freedom, we value it, and we want it. Freedom under Jesus Christ. And that's the freedom to live righteously and not to sin. That's what we want. But we have to be aware that there are forces in the world that want to contain and control us, and really to take our freedom away. That's what's going on. We have people who want to control us, and that's a part of what also the government says to do. If we don't have Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus and our neighbor in our heart, then we do need to be controlled as a people, because people are full of everything. Yes, love, but also very bad, sinful behavior. So That's a part of why we have government to administer justice. And yet we have to be careful that we don't get an overpowerful government that tells us exactly what to do. We have a conflict going on right now with what's going on with vaccines. And there have been so many complications from vaccines lately that it's starting to get people's attention. I mean, a lot. Getting a lot of attention for why there are harmful things that are going on. The first-hand reports are kind of devastating, or how people are devastated. And then there's the first-hand reports about people who have died, and their family members give that report about how things went for them and what they did, how they had ganglions in their blood system, or how they had a heart problem or something, and people that never did. It's something that's going on today. And, oh boy, I guess when I think of this and I think about the family situations that I've had a little harm in my family, and I've seen the harm in my my extended family, and there's people who have gotten harmed. Well, I'll tell you about Brian. Brian was had a vaccine in his late teens, and that affected him for the whole rest of his life. It's gotten worse and worse. Guillain-Barré is what he acquired from that vaccine. And so for the last years, he has simply deteriorated. His muscles don't work. He's a wonderful guy. If you would see him, you'd like him. He's just a very nice man. But he has had to have care for the last dozen or so years. And it's been tough on him. It's been tough on the family. But this is a part of the vaccine damage that we don't see. We don't see a lot of things that are going on, but it happens. And again, that is why we just really want to have the righteousness of Christ in our heart and in our life, so that we have the goodness that goes along with the righteousness of Christ, with the way living the way the Bible tells us to live. That is what we want to strive for. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, people all over the world are having damages. They have vaccine damages, and again, we just don't hear about them. Those people are put into an institution. We don't hear about the damage. We don't hear about what happens to our neighbors in all sorts of things. That's a part of what we do, too, is we are loving and we remember people in prayer. There's so many prayer needs in the world. Think about your family. Think about your church family. Think about your pastor. And remember to say a prayer for all these people. They need prayer. Oh, and we all need prayer too. So let's pray for one another, each of us. it's just what we want to do. Become a praying people and have that compassion, that love. Like the great commandment says, to love God and love your neighbor. And that's what we want to do. I just remembered the guy, that Mormon leader that is telling all his followers what to do. It's Warren Jeffs. And he just has thousands of, he calls them family, but they're followers, like 5,000 or 10,000. And he tells them what to do from a jail cell. So we have, in a sense, a way that we can go along with the what we're told to do, or by some authority, whether it's that Warren Jeffs guy, or whether it's our spouse, for instance, or a government. All these people want to tell us what to do, and we have to recognize what we are willing to do under the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. So, let's see now, what else? Well, we have experiences in life from the vaccines that harm us, and that is something I want to talk about. Let's just go to Adam and Eve and to why we do want to be obedient and do things. It's so that we don't get harmed. There was a struggle. It goes back as far as I can see to the nature of man, how we want to do what we want and ignore what God tells us. That's what Adam did. That's what Eve did. And there were consequences. And that's the thing. We love to do what we want to do, but we forget their consequences. So, again, read your Bible, get the understanding, and be faithful to God, because a lot of people are falling away from God these days, and that's normal and natural. And besides, 2 Thessalonians 2:2 tells us there will be a great falling away, and Matthew 7:13 says, the road to wide is hell, and the road to heaven is narrow, and few find it. So, we're told these things in the Bible. Now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to let this affect our life? That is the rest of the question, because it will affect our life, and we don't want it to affect our life in a bad way. So let's pursue our relation with Jesus Christ. It needs to be a personal relation. That's what we do. We have that personal relation, and that means we seek God on our own. It's not seeking a man. It's not seeking somebody who tells us what God says. It is our own personal relation with God, and we find that as we read the Bible. It's right there. It's right there in the Bible. Don't ask a man what the Bible says. Read it yourself. That's a part of what we do as responsible people. We seek out understanding ourselves. And, yeah, the personal relation with Jesus Christ, that's what we seek. Okay. I was thinking about how this COVID thing is harming so many people. I was thinking about the statements or the testimony that people give that you can listen to. And I was thinking about how difficult it actually is to get an accurate story about what a vaccine really does and how it hurts a person. I just told you about Brian. He's a member of my family. Vaccine injury, and the doctor testified about that. And so he had a lot of his medical expenses paid. But it's very hard to prove vaccine injury. There are doctors and attorneys who, they are representing the other side, and it's not easy to win a legal battle in court to get your vaccine injury recognized. So my point is about vaccines is that we have a lot of information to pay attention to, and we often enough hear one side of the story only. That's what's going on today. We only hear one side of the story from the media, and people who disagree are being removed from the social media. The people who disagree don't come on television, and so we have to figure those things out on our own and try to understand what are we to do? Well, we want to believe the doctors. Doctors are really nice people. They really care. They are really compassionate. But they still have gone through medical school, and they know what they know. They have been taught according to medicine. So when we have more time to research things, we get more information than even the doctors have. And when we listen to other doctors and professional people, we get still more information. And that's okay to do. In fact, we ought to. We ought to listen for ourselves and gather information so that we have enough understanding to make good decisions, whatever they are. It can be tedious, it can be tough, but there's nobody better to take care of yourself and your family than you. And that means you have to look. You have to search things out and try to figure things out. When we seek another person to tell us what to do, like having a king over us or having a cult leader over us to tell us what to do, well, we know the results. It's not good. That's why I brought up those cult people just now, a minute ago. Well, it's good to get information. I used to like to get a lot of information, and I'll just tell you this funny little story, because I used to listen to a lot of lectures on my little recorder thing, but I would always speed them up so I didn't have to listen for a whole hour or 2 hours. I could do that in half the time. All I had to do was have it go on fast speed. So my wife would come along and she'd say, "Oh, you're listening to the Chipmunks again." Well, anyway, that's me. We all are different people, but, well, that was funny. Maybe only to me. Back on track. See, okay, we have these things with vaccines. We have the only part of the story that we hear. And I think it's very interesting when we have an authority, but the authority is saying that you guys have to take the vaccine, but our workers don't. If you look at that, the exemptions, who is exempt from this vaccine? Well, the president and his staff and the Congress and the congressional staff, they're exempt. There's a lot of federal workers that are exempt. There's the Pfizer employees are exempt. The Moderna employees are exempt. And I just heard it. This was out of the San Jose Mercury News, and they were saying that the state of California was not going to enforce the mandate on its workers. So they're telling us, all of us, we need to get vaccinated. But there is a whole lot of exceptions out there who don't have to get vaccinated. And we have to wonder about that. I know there's a lot of Christians that are concerned about what is in a vaccine. They talk about aborted fetal cells in the vaccine. And yeah, there's a lot of aborted baby organs in vaccines. And we don't think that's so good, do we? Well, there's a biblical principle of not mixing things up. To keep things pure. It's something that's desired. And are there really fetal cells in the vaccines? Well, this just came out. These are notes from Melissa Strickler, and she was a Pfizer employee, and she released emails from various people that she worked with. To show that there really were fetal cells in the vaccines. And there was an email right here from Vanessa Gilman, who was the Pfizer director for worldwide research. And the email said to avoid saying that there were fetal cells in the current vaccine. And it continued, The risk of communicating this information outweighs any potential benefit. And there was another of her workers, Ad Badkar, who, this is part of his, what his email said. He worked on Pfizer's Biotherapeutics of Science organization. And he said, do not mention the fetal cell lines. And there was information released, and it talks very specifically about what cell lines. For instance, HEK293 T cells that were obtained from a female fetus in 1973. They were used to demonstrate proof of concept. And then there's notes from AstraZeneca that showed they used the same cell line to in their research. HEK293 T cells. And then there was Johnson & Johnson correspondence. It said it used those same cell lines as well as PER.C6 cell lines that were obtained from an 18-week-old fetus aborted in 1985. And then accompanying this, there was a paper that showed fetal DNA and proteins are found in the COVID-19 vaccines. There was a doctor, genetic engineer, Theresa Disher, that was explaining it is impossible to totally separate the antigen from the median which in which it is grown. And that doctor continues, contaminants cannot be removed economically from the long chain of RNA or DNA. Again, continuing, as discussed, the WI38 and the HRC5 cell lines have been obtained from abortions in the 1960s. So you read some more and you get information that this really is going on. What does it mean? Does it mean we should even be concerned? Why should we care? It's because it's a mixing of things that were never intended to be mixed under God's order of things. Oh, there was another accompanying article, and it said that there are aborted fetal cells in other vaccines, including the DTP, which was diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, and polio. And a few other vaccines also contain fetal cells, such as chickenpox and hepatitis and the MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella. There is also fetal cells in the shingles vaccine. Well, we have a concept here where, in practice, science cannot separate the DNA fragments from what is injected into people. And there are scientists who speak about the DNA fragments and strongly suggest that this is why our body mutates, why there are genetic mutations and cancer within our bodies, because of the DNA fragmentation injected into us. So it's an argument. It's an argument. It can all be true. I'm not one of those lab researchers, so I don't know. You have to rely on the papers that are filed, scientific papers, and that means you have to wade through them and actually do the research. Or are you going to trust your doctor? Are you going to trust the senator? Are you going to trust the governor or the president or the medical people? Who are you going to trust? Well, that's why we have a king, because they can tell us what to do. That's why we have a cult leader, so they can tell us what to do. And we don't want that. We want our own freedom. And that means we have to be responsible for it and actually search out the information. There's another argument that some Christian people have, which is that this is all a matter of fallen angel DNA. Now, it's a kind of a strange argument, but there is something to it if you look and you say that that's why so much of humanity was contaminated, to stop the bloodline of Jesus from emerging. And it's an argument. I mean, there's arguments all over the place. Which ones are we going to listen to? I don't know, but I know it's good to stay pure, and that's what the Bible tells us too, to stay pure in as much as you can. A part of what we have to remember is the big important thing for all of us is to repent of our sin, repent of what God tells us not to do, and be born again followers of Jesus Christ. I remember back about 20 years, I was I just ran into a man at a book convention, and I found out that he was had been a Satan follower, but he was a born-again Christian follower of Jesus Christ. And like you said, he was sold out for Jesus. And you have to realize that that's what it all takes, all of us. We all have to be sold out followers of Jesus Christ. And he said he was born into an Illuminati family. He didn't know how long he was going to live, but while he was going to live, he was going to celebrate Jesus and proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we can all be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the truth. That we need the blood of Jesus to be saved. And no matter how long we live, if our life is long or if our life is short or if our life is disrupted because of the vaccines we take, I don't know, but all these things are real possible. Therefore, no matter how long we live, we want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, born again. I think that's what we want to remember. And sometimes it's good to be prepared with other things too, because when there are the things that are coming to the earth, we will want to stay alive to preach the good news of the gospel. Okay, now let's see. I do have my free preparedness pamphlet. If you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I will get that right back to you, to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, you can listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today. Just go to www.christtoday.org and think about the shortages that are right going on. Get some supplies, some basic items, and that means basic food, because we don't know what's ahead of us in this world, not really. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live my life inside your